Hi, Genesis Church. I often wonder where everybody's watching from on Sunday morning while you're viewing online. Perhaps from your bedroom or your living room, maybe watching on a computer or a phone or a tablet. Well, I bet this morning I have the best view of anybody. I'm up in a tree across from the Genesis Center. Today we're talking about a guy named Zacchaeus. And I've always liked Zacchaeus' story, partly because, well, he's a short guy and so am I. I'm 5'6" and 5'8", and yes, every eighth does matter. He was short and couldn't see Jesus, but he really wanted to. That's partly why I identify with him, is his stature, but also because his life was changed when he saw Jesus. I want to instruct you today on how you can see God every day in your life. Thanks for joining us this morning, and I pray that as we open God's Word together, that your life will be changed. So, how do I get down? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Think about that for a minute. A promise to see God. We get excited about, seeing the latest movie or seeing the sun set over the bay, but come on, this is a big deal. A promise that you can see God. Why is it that we don't? Because I believe life is filled with astounding, life-changing, breathtaking glimpses of God at work. And yet we miss most of them. This text tells us that they're specifically on display for the people who are pure in heart. So we need to understand what that means if we're going to get those glimpses of God. What do you think of when you hear the word pure? I think of pure drinking water. I think of pure honey. And of course, I think of pure Michigan. What does it mean then to be pure? It means to both be free from dirt, but also undiluted. So pure water is free from impurities, and pure honey is not diluted by corn syrup, and pure Michigan is uncontaminated by Ohio. We live very spiritually dirty and diluted lives, if we're honest. And as a result, we don't see all that God intends us to see. Our vision is clouded. Dirt collects slowly in our lives, much like it does on my glasses if I'm not paying attention. And then one day I just think, well, everything's kind of fuzzy. And I look and I realize I've not been seeing all that I'm supposed to see because my lenses are dirty. And our commitments get diluted by the wants and the worries of life. They just sort of build up over time and get our attention over here instead of focusing on Christ. The pure in heart, though, they're intent, they're focused, they're determined to fix their eyes and keep their gaze on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what distracts you? I don't think I'm probably ever in danger of being distracted, for instance, by the wow of automobiles. I'm just not a car guy. I like to have a car that gets me from point A to point B and doesn't cause any trouble. But there are other things that do distract me. I like watching football. I like watching football, especially with my family, with my kids, in the comfort of my own home and some good food. And pretty soon, I like that so much that I can block out a lot of other things and really miss what God's doing in my life. You probably have some of those distractions as well. And if you're going to keep God first in your life, if you're going to see all that he's doing, you've really got to keep zoned in and focused on who he is and make him first in your life. We say that a lot. Well, I'm going to have God be first in my life. But you know what you need to do? You need to constantly monitor the second and third place contenders for that role in your life. They're the ones that are going to creep in. Maybe it's finances or family or your career or hobbies. Those are good things. Those are desirable things. But those are the things that are most likely to sneak up in front of Jesus, who should be first place. Are you keeping tabs on that? Now, we talked about dirt getting in the way, but distractions are important as well. Distractions, in fact, are just as dangerous as dirt, just as dangerous as outright sin in our lives. Now that we know what it means to be pure in heart, to be focused, to be clean, and to be zeroed in on one purpose, let's go back to Zacchaeus. And let's look at what he did and the action steps he took and see if we can't imitate some of what he did in order to have that same kind of God experience that he did. So Luke chapter 19, it says that Jesus was passing through Jericho. passing through. That means that he didn't plan on stopping. And I bet most of his disciples were glad, because Jericho is not the most upright city. It's not a place that religious people would expect to have a God sighting. Jericho wasn't on the agenda. But praise God that people who are seeking him are always on his agenda. And so Jesus stopped and spent time with Zacchaeus. So if you want to see God, you need to start where Zacchaeus did. You need to climb a tree, to put yourself in a position to see God. I should probably insert a do not try this at home moment here about climbing a tree. What I mean is not physically climbing a tree, but spiritually, where is it you can get a better view of God? First, let's ask this question. Why did Zacchaeus want to see Jesus in the first place? The text doesn't really tell us that. Perhaps he'd heard of Jesus' miracles. Maybe he heard about people like Matthew, a tax collector, who had become a follower of Jesus. I'm sure they walked in a pretty tight circle. Or maybe, what I think, is that money and stuff finally caught up with him. And ultimately, he found it unsatisfying. And he wanted to follow the one person who was offering life that is truly life. Do you want to see God? What are you willing to do to get a vision of his work in your life and in your world? Are you willing to climb a tree? Are you willing to do something that almost seems ridiculous in your current situation and yet can be transforming? The passage tells us that Zacchaeus put himself in a position to see God, that he tried to see Jesus walking by and couldn't, and so he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree. He tried probably elbowing his way through the crowd, but he was too small. He was a short guy, and it didn't work out. So he ran down the route just a little bit, and he got up in a tree just before Jesus got there. He was single-minded, and he had this intense focus to see this man named Jesus. Clearly, he wasn't worried about what other people thought about him. He didn't care about the critique that Randy Newman gave in his song, Short People. He was just committed to see Jesus. So where do you see God? A lot of people would say, I tend to see God out in nature. And that's right. That's biblical, in fact. The Bible tells us that all of creation speaks about the truth of our Creator. And so that's a good place to go and to meet with God. And yet, we don't get a lot of specifics from the sky and the tree and the waves. We just know, wow, there's a God. I would suggest that the best place to see God is in the Scripture, in the Word of God, in prayer, and spending time with God's people, the fellowship of believers. If you keep doing that, and your eyes are open, you avoid the distractions of the worries and the wants of the world, God will show up in ways that you didn't plan on. And you'll say, wow, there's God. But if we're honest, there's obstacles. There's things that get in the way. Just lack of time, being tired. Sometimes we find reading the Bible a little confusing. And soon the weather's going to be really nice outside. That can be a distraction. So what do you do? I want to say, do like Zacchaeus, man. Elbow your way through the crowd. If that doesn't work, climb a tree. If you can't get up in the tree, ask for some help. We'll be here to help you, spiritually boost you up. If you're going to see God, you've got to have that kind of intensity and that level of commitment to spend time in his word and with his people. Maybe climbing a tree means doing something unusual for you, like getting out a pen and paper and keeping a journal, praying and listening to what God says to you. Maybe memorize a passage of the Bible and chew on it for a little while. Think about it until you can say it by memory and say it to other people. And you'll see that God speaks to you and shows up in his written word. Seek and you will find. That's a promise of the Bible. We want to find, but we don't want to do the work of seeking. We're not that committed. Zacchaeus was, and I hope you will be as well. Now for Zacchaeus, it could have ended right there. It could have been just a nice memory to tell the grandkids, that time I climbed up a tree, how silly of me, and I watched Jesus walk by. But he took another step. Will you take that step? Will you bring Jesus home with you? Will you celebrate God and God's sightings in your core relationships? See, Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. The good news is that Jesus was also looking for Zacchaeus. And when he saw him up in that tree, he said, I have to come to your house today. God is seeking seekers. So it doesn't take a lot. Seek and you will find. He came to seek and to save the lost. And if you're seeking him, I guarantee you, you will meet. And maybe today is that day that you meet him. In verse 6, we're told that after Jesus said, I have to come to your house, that Zacchaeus welcomed him gladly. Welcomed him gladly. That's a big deal. For Zacchaeus, he wasn't just going to be a spectator. This isn't a spectator sport, the Christian walk. He wanted to be a follower of Jesus. He didn't just take a pic of Jesus, kind of a selfie with me and my buddy like he would some famous person and put it in a scrapbook. No, he celebrated Jesus in his home and it changed his life. And apparently it changed the lives of other people in his household. Verse 9 tells us that salvation has come to this house. That was Jesus' proclamation, expecting the transformation of his whole family, his whole household. So your greatest ministry is with your family. And it can be the hardest because we feel kind of like a hypocrite a lot of the time. Our family really knows who we are, right? They know what we're like when we're upset or we get hangry. And so when we then talk about spiritual things, we just kind of feel like a hypocrite. And we're afraid that they're going to, what are you talking about, or write us off. It's the riskiest, the hardest place, but the most rewarding place to live your faith. Share God sightings. What's a God sighting? I've used the term a couple of times now. God sighting is just simply this. It's when you have seen God at work in your life or in your world. And I encourage you to share that in your family. Share that with your roommates. And you think, oh, that would shock them if I started talking about God. Well, guess what? People were shocked about this whole situation. You know, Zacchaeus shocked everybody by bringing him to his house. But he was a tax collector, a chief tax collector. Tax collectors were lowlifes. They were well off, but nobody liked them. And in the Bible, they're frequently associated with other sinners like prostitutes. And the religious people had to be really shocked that Jesus would go to Zacchaeus' house. And I'm sure Zacchaeus' acquaintances were really shocked that Zacchaeus suddenly got, oh, all religious. But this was real. This was real for him. He put himself in a position to see Jesus. He brought Jesus into the center of his life, and then he does this amazing thing. He stood up and made a proclamation. And I think if we're going to really look at who God is, we're going to see him much more frequently in our daily lives, we've got to be willing to stand up as well, to make it personal with a public action step. Zacchaeus, as I said, was the chief tax collector, and Jericho is one of only three taxing regions in Israel, apart from the coastal cities. He was the head guy. He was sort of like the mafia boss of the tax mob in Jericho. Now, don't think Marlon Brando at this point playing him. You got to think Danny DeVito, because remember, he's a little guy. Everybody knew him, but nobody liked him. Why? Because he was filthy rich, and he got that way off of their money. So Zacchaeus isn't playing the game here. He's being changed. A transformation is happening right in front of everybody's face. And I know it's real because of what he does. He repents and then he offers restitution. Repentance simply means to change direction. If I'm going this way, to repent means to turn. I go that way. By the way, if you haven't been seeing God at work in your world lately, maybe it's a time for a change in direction. He gave back, it says, 50% of his money. He just gave it away. I'm going to take half of my stuff. I'm going to give it to the poor. I'm going to give it to the needy. And then out of the remaining 50%, so there's the repentance, out of the remaining 50%, he did what we call restitution. He said, I will give back four times what I cheated people out of. And he cheated people. And so suddenly he's making things right with people. Now, it's not the math that matters. It's the heart. To be pure in heart. To be focused, to be determined. This is what Zacchaeus was, and he went public with it. Now, there's a word here that I want to call your attention to. And if you're following along in the NIV, which I'm reading from, you don't actually see it. They sort of paraphrase it for us. It's the word behold. It's a word we don't use very often, if ever. It means, kind of simply, check this out, but in a much bigger way. It's the same word that the angels used when they announced that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem. They said, behold, I bring good news of great joy. It means pay attention right now. This is a big deal. So our translation says this: look, here and now. That's sort of their paraphrase of the world behold. And I kind of like that. It's an attention getter. It's saying, pay attention. Zacchaeus stood up and said, behold, look, hey, everybody, focus. I got something important to say. He wasn't ashamed of it. And then he said, here and now I'm going to do this. How opposite of us. We don't like people looking at us. We don't like people examining us, especially spiritually. We want to keep that God stuff kind of private, maybe just on Sunday mornings, and then you keep your spiritual stuff to yourself, and I'll keep it to myself. And that's not what Zacchaeus did. He said, behold, take a look. Here I am. He opened up the ledgers, literally. Here's my books. Find out who I cheated, and I'll give back four times. Are you willing to open up the books? There's a lot of accountability in that. Are you willing to proclaim, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to do it perfectly. You'll see me fail. But if you do, encourage me. I'm going to try to get back up again, and I'd love to have you walk with me and Jesus together. And you say that out loud. You make that known, and all of a sudden, it's game on. And you will see God at work in your world because you've proclaimed yourself to be a follower of him. Look, here and now, we're much more about somewhere else and later on. That's kind of what we do. I'll follow Jesus at that part of my life, in church, or maybe with my family, but gee, not at work or not with the guys. You know, that's a whole different kind of relationship going on there. No. Here and now. And that here and now means everywhere. And then now, we tend to always put things off. You know, we have an experience and kind of like, you know, Pinterest. We're going to just pin that to, I'll decide later. I'll look at it again later, board. And then you never get to it. Zacchaeus could have done that. Oh, that Jesus guy, he's interesting. I'll have to check that out later. That's not what he said. Here and now, I make a decision. And it transformed who he was. So my question is this. Do you want to see God? Do you want to see him change who you are? Do you want to see him powerfully working in your world? You can't just sit where you are. You can't just stand in the back of the crowd. If you can't get to the front, you've got to climb a tree. You've got to make it happen because it's so easy to get dirty and diluted and distracted in this life. So what are the next steps you can take to have a true experience of God at work in your world? Well, I want to suggest you put yourself in a better position to see God. Commit yourself to joining us each Sunday, whether it's online or eventually when we gather together again, to connect with people. Maybe join a small group online, because I guarantee you that's where you will see God at work. And then find a way to bring Jesus more into the center of your home. Maybe it's praying before meals or having a devotional time. Maybe it's just sharing what you learned today as you were talking or listening to this talk. Have a personal conversation. Don't just turn off the TV and then have lunch. Turn off the TV and say, so what was one thing that you got out of this? And have a discussion with your family. Or maybe share a God sighting this week. Make it a commitment. I'm going to keep my eyes open. I'm going to make that part of my language. I'm going to ask people, hey, have you had a God sighting? Have you seen any way God's been at work in your world? Get those conversations going, and I guarantee you it will be exciting. Norm's going to come in just a moment and talk a little bit about how you can make this very real and personal. But first, I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for people who are beginning their walk with Jesus Christ. People like Zacchaeus, who need to make it real, who maybe are overwhelmed with the dirt of their life or distracted by so many other things. But today they realize it's time for a change. I pray that your word would find its mark in their heart and their eyes would be open and they would see you. I'm also reminded, Lord, of a man who was at the end of his life. A man named Stephen was killed for his faith, and just before they stoned him to death, he used that same word and said, behold, here and now, look, I'm ready to die for who I know and love and see. And he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He had a God sighting at the very end. And then God, all in between that, fill us up with a vision of who you are and what you're doing in our lives, in our church, in our families, and in our community as well. We repent of our dirt and our distractions, and we say, open the eyes of our hearts. In Jesus' name.
Great message, Scott. I love that passage where it talks about that and salvation came to the house of Zacchaeus. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that's a desire that you have, that God's salvation would come to your house. And what does it take for that to happen? Well, just like Zacchaeus, it takes acknowledging your brokenness and your sinfulness. It takes turning to God, repenting, calling sin what it is, and then inviting God into your life. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you to do that. And I'm going to pray a prayer that you can pray if you'd like in order to have salvation come to your house. So let me pray. Dear God, I acknowledge that I am broken and needy and sinful. And I turn to you, God. I repent of my sins. And I acknowledge that I need you and your forgiveness. Please come into my life and please guide me and please change me. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. If you prayed that, we would love to hear from you because we want to encourage you and rejoice with you. We want to pray with you. We want to help you grow to become everything that God wants you to be. So please feel free to reach out to us. Again, you can text Genesis at 231-412-2866. We just love to hear from you. Now, for those of you that follow Christ, I want to ask you to consider making a commitment this week to stand up and point it out when you see God at work. You can do that with your family at the dinner table. You can do it with your coworkers. You can call someone and tell them, but you will make the commitment to point it out. Now, how are you going to do that? Well, you're going to have to minimize distractions. You're going to have an open heart this week that God is at work and to see him at what he's doing. As we end up our time, we're going to meditate on a song that's called Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. So as we do that right now, I just ask God to open our hearts this week.